It's good to come together tonight and have this fellowship and Bible study. If you look in the book of Luke, chapter 8, and we're going to be reading, starting with verse 1. And again, we appreciate Darren and Allison being with us. It's wonderful to visit with you tonight. We're thankful you're here. And we always read two verses because that way I can keep up with it. And Jim always starts with verse 1 and 2. Remember next Sunday. Next Sunday we're going to be doing our 4th of July celebration in church and honoring the country that we live in, which is a good place. And I'm thankful that we have the freedoms we have. And I'm with prayer and diligence, we hope to continue to have the freedoms and pray for our country. I think that's a good thing. And pray that God will help everybody to do the right thing. If everybody does the right thing, then that freedom goes on and on. Yes. When you have people messing with the freedom, then it's a little trouble. But we're thankful for the opportunities that we have here. Jim is going to read 1 and 2. So we're going to start off with it according to our little guide or outline. The first thing is the gospel. But you know what's impressive to me about these first couple of verses? Number one is it says, now after the things happened in the last chapter 7, and a lot happened in chapter 7, then Jesus went on. It seems like his ministry's picking up speed. And he's everywhere preaching. And you know what? A lot of people don't understand preaching. You know, it's kind of like, well, that seems a little odd. But Paul recognized preaching to be a good thing because God chose to use the foolishness of preaching to witness and touch hearts and touch souls. And John the Baptist was a preacher. He came preaching that people should repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus picks up where John the Baptist kind of let off, and he preached too. What did he preach? He preached good tidings, good news. He preached hope in a time where hope wasn't that great in the country and the nation of Israel because of the Romans who were oppressing them, and they weren't free. They were under the bondage of the Roman government. And everybody wanted a deliverer, but they wanted a political deliverer. Jesus came to be that deliverer, but he came to set men's hearts and lives free from sin. So his battle was not with the Romans, his battle was with the devil. And Jesus did everything to give you and I the victory over sin. He did all. And beginning in his ministry, he began by preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom. And we discussed this morning, the kingdom of God is Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord. Maybe a couple of months ago, maybe three, Jacob was at our house, and someone came to the door giving out Bibles, and it's a little different Bible, and Jacob grabbed the Bible and looked through it, and he said, he looked at John 3:16, and Debbie's told this story before, but he said, this is a good Bible because it says the only begotten Son. And I thought, you know, that's an amazing thing for someone, who a little guy, he's 8 years old now, I think, and yet he recognized there are certain things that need to be in every Bible, and it's not in every Bible. So we want to be careful what book we pick up. But Jesus Christ is the center of God's plan. And the scripture goes on to say, and the 12 were with him, meaning they were full-time signed on. It not only was the 12, there could have been at times up to 100 people with Jesus. He wasn't going alone. This introduces to us some of the women that went along. Mary Magdalene, it doesn't say a whole lot about her situation, but it does say that Jesus cast out or delivered her from 7 evil spirits. And the deliverance, we don't know all of the details of this, but we do know this. Mary was happy to be delivered from that bondage. And, you know, you look at her life and it's mentioned, we don't know all of the details again, but we do know this. We know that when she was delivered, she stayed close by to Jesus and his ministry. And she was there to be a blessing, a help. And I believe many of these others, there were a lot of volunteers. A lot of volunteers. And they were very faithful in many different ways. When you have a group of people, just say you have 12. Have you ever gone camping? And you have 12 people. And you have to think about food. You have to think about tents. I don't know that they lived in tents, but there's a lot of work that's involved with just keeping up with people and keeping them on the road and keep them doing what they're doing. And God opened the door through Christianity to women having equal status with men. And not many religions do that. There may be some that I'm not aware of, but Christianity opens a door and uses the women in ministry, uses the women, I don't mean that in a negative way, but allows the freedom for women to join in and minister and help. And I'm thankful that Christianity not only lets the ladies do the dishes. I mean, and I do dishes too. But allows the ladies to be a very important part of all of the gospel message. And Paul many times in his ministry said, pray for these women because of the work that they're doing. And so no longer would women be set back. Our missionary to Mexico, Brother Kincaid, went to the rock, Dome of the Rock in Israel. And it's very touchy. You've got to be very careful of things you say and so forth. And he met a Muslim woman there. And he said, you ought to be a Christian. He said, Christianity gives you better status than what you have under the Muslim religion. And we know that's true because the Muslims don't see women in the same light as they see themselves. And there's many other religions the same way. But Christianity opens a door. Mary Magdalene was at the cross when Jesus died. Mary Magdalene was at the tomb when he resurrected. Mary Magdalene was the first messenger he's alive. The very first. So I'm just saying that the scripture tells us these things so we're not ignorant. And so we don't go backwards. And everyone has an opportunity to be a messenger and a minister for the Lord. Mary Magdalene was from Magdala, which is near Tiberias. And it always distinguishes her with that. But then you have to, when you read some of the scriptures we've read recently about how many Marys there were, there's a lot of Marys. Mary, the mother of Jesus, which is actually Miriam, but and Mary, one of the aunts, maybe one of the sisters of Jesus' mother Mary. So there's a lot of Marys, and this is a way of distinguishing her. We'll go on. Donnie, you want to read 3 and 4? Verse 4, as you see, is changing gears. We're going on. But let's go back to verse 3. So Joanna is the wife of one of Herod's stewards. There were a lot of influential people that cared for Jesus. And Joanna, it's believed that her son was healed from dying. He was dying and Jesus intervened and healed him. And that Joanna's husband was a nobleman from Capernaum. And that they saw such a miracle and they always ministered to and helped Jesus in his ministry. There were others. That one was Manaea that was mentioned in the book of Acts chapter 13. And he was a foster brother of Herod. So there were a number of people who were very both important and wealthy, and they did what they could. Not much is known about Susanna, except for that banjo on your knee song. Just kidding. Different time. But Susanna is also one of, and the fact that her name was mentioned is amazing. Here, I'd like to have my name in the scripture. That'd be cool. But she was one of the others that probably a woman that had great means and that she was willing to minister to the needs that the Lord had in his ministry and be a help as well. Pretty amazing that people that are called upon and have the opportunity and that they have stood so prominent from the beginning of Christianity. And we have women today the same that are very notable for the Lord and do mighty and great things for the Lord. I always marveled at Catherine Kuhlman. I know her name was Kuhlman, but I thought she was real cool. She was real, you know, kind of laid back and spoke with an even tone and all. But I'm thankful that the Lord will use us. Whether we're man or woman, boy or girl, he'll use us. The commentary makes reference to it wasn't a woman who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It wasn't a woman that ran away when he was crucified or who weren't there at the time of his resurrection or didn't go to the tomb. So we kind of see what I'm speaking of. Anyone have any thoughts? You want to argue with me? That's... Well, in the early years of this church, there was a woman pastor named Sister Vossler. She made a very big impression on a lot of people. She taught at the Bible College and amazing ministry. I attended the church in Alameda, Pentecost Church of God, and there we had Sister Nelson. Her brother was also a pastor. His name was, I think, J.D. Powell, I think that's it, but Brother Powell, and he ministered in San Francisco. So, you know, there's an opportunity for whoever to use your talents for God. God's good with that, and good people, when people start binding situations like that and not letting people speak, they miss something. They miss something that's very important. They need to hear. Anyone else have a thought before we're going to get into the parable? All right. Audrey, would you like to read 5 and 6?
A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture.
Now, we're very familiar with this parable. And Jesus spoke with a parable so that he could really get people who were hungry to pay attention. And it gave them a story that they could remember. And it helped them to understand the deeper truths of the teaching of God. Now, in this situation, after he's through with the parable, his disciples say, okay, what does it mean? And he breaks it down for them. But he spoke the parable before a group of people, and he wanted to tell a story that everyone could identify with. How many's ever sown seed? Few of us. You know, it's a different thing. We live differently today. When I plant tomatoes, I plant a plant. I don't start with the seed. I don't have time to start with the seed. I barely have time to put the plants in the ground. But this is an illustration that Jesus could use that people might understand about sowing seeds and how the seeds land. And the fact that the seeds go out in all of these different situations. So the first fell by the wayside. It was on ground that wasn't prepared. It was part of the walking area. And even if you break soil up and you walk on it 5 or 10 times, it kind of compresses it down. Henry knows a lot about compacting soil because he's worked that way, and Jim too, and tractor work, and they know what it is to compact it. They can do it 2 or 3 different ways. There's a lot of engineers today that only know one way. And Henry and Jim know probably 5 or 6 ways to do it. So some fell on the path and didn't get a chance to do much. And the other seed fell on rocky ground that was kind of like a big rock with a little bit of soil on top. And as soon as it sprung up, it was withered away because it lacked moisture. So in each situation, we see a different degree of what the seed is doing. First of all, if it's on the hard path, it doesn't get to do anything. And the next phase is it's in a little bit of dirt, so it starts to grow, and then, boom, it's gone because there's not enough dirt to get it rooted. And we go on. Darren, would you like to read 7 and 8 for us? Well, that's okay. Well, you're welcome to read if you want.
And some fell along thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and crowded it. Age, right?
Yes, sir. Isn't that amazing? Thank you. So you see the degrees? Some fell on reasonably good ground, but among thorns. And when the crop sprang up, then it was choked out. So it had a little bit more than the seed on the rock and a lot more than the seed on the path. And then some fell on good ground, good soil, and did exactly what the seed was supposed to do. And it sprang up and had a bountiful crop, up to 100-fold. Don't you love that 100-fold number? I mean, in anything, in giving and in doing and whatever, planting, 100-fold is nice. That's a nice increase, and that's a blessing. But you know what is so touching is that when Jesus said this, it seems like there's a big emotion, and he cried, "He that hath ears, let him hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear." So the message, we'll get into the interpretation in just a moment, but the message is what Jesus wanted to get out, and he wanted people to pay attention and hear. In the book of Revelations, chapters 2 and 3 speak of the history of the seven churches of Asia and their good things, bad things. Some had no good things, some had no bad things. But all the churches were addressed and given hope. And at the end of every message, Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church." We all need to have our ears on, so to speak, and pay attention and listen, because Jesus is speaking to us, and we need to hear, we need to pay attention. He speaks through this verse, and in a way, it's kind of amazing. You know, his disciples, his followers were kind of new to him, and they had never heard teaching like that. They had heard teaching, the priests and the teaching of the law, but they'd never heard teaching like Jesus. And so it was very touching to them. Allison, would you like to read 9 and 10? No, there's more to number 10. Okay, that's fine. It says that seeing, they might not see, and hearing, they might not understand. And so the disciples said, you know, we appreciate the parable, but what does it mean? Help us out a little bit. Give us more. And you know what? In a way, that's what Jesus was asking them to do, was to seek more, to understand. Now, there is a lot of teachings and religions that have secret societies. We're speaking with Darren and Allison before the service about going to Salt Lake City. And when you go there and see the Mormon temple, We were able to go into this one part. They do a recording, and it was a beautiful building. We were able to go through a tour where they did pretty much their spiel to us, telling us, I mean, Jesus was blonde and blue-eyed, which I'm not so sure. I'll ask him, where did that come from when we get up to heaven? But Jesus went to, they spoke of Jesus going to South America, and I don't see that in the Bible, so I'm not real impressed. But everything was beautiful, everything was done well, but the temple was blacked out. We could not see. You couldn't get in a position where you could see what was going on in the temple. That's a secret thing. And there's other beliefs that have secrets, but in Christianity, Jesus says, let me help you with the mysteries. And let's break down everything we can, and let's bring revelation and understanding. There are some things that are still mysterious to us about certain prayers, perhaps that we don't see the answer that we were expecting, and there's a lot of questions. We'll understand it better by and by, according to the song. I think there's questions that we'll have for the Lord, and I think the Lord will be happy to answer them for us. But Jesus said, we're going to start breaking it down, and he also said there are some people that will always see a mystery, and others will dig in enough and get the understanding of what's going on. And again, there are things, a lot of mystery in the Old Testament is revealed in Christ. A lot of the prophecies, a lot of the hope that was given in the Old Testament, in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and different books of prophecy, a lot of that's revealed in Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of so many of those scripture. I read one time that the fulfillment of Jesus coming, just like all the Old Testament said, was like 1 over, say, 29 with 87 zeros after it. Now, I don't know what that number is. I don't even know I don't know anything even resembling that. I've never comprehended anything like that. But I do know this, that when Jesus came, he fulfilled a lot of the prophecy. And it's a miracle, everything that he both did and everything that he taught. And now we get down to the word of Jesus as he begins to break it up. Debbie, would you read 11 and 12? We haven't mentioned the devil so far, but we did with the demon spirits, but let's mention him some more. The devil works hard against the Word of God. The Word of God is perfect. Perfect. It's truth. Absolute truth. Jesus said, this is what I was saying. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the truth. The seed is everything that's in the Old Testament, everything that's in the New Testament. It is the Bible. That is what the seed is. The good news of who Jesus Christ was. It was spoken by the angels to the shepherds. Great tidings, good tidings of, oh boy, great tidings of great joy. I think, yeah. If you don't get it started right, you don't ever get it finished right, right? But the news was so fantastic and so wonderful. And that good news is still happening today. And it is changing lives when people hear the truth. And they don't allow the devil to take it away. So we continue on. The devil works hard to destroy what the Word of God says. If we hold on to the truth, we can see great victory. Sharon, would you like to read 13 and 14?
They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection.
So we run through the three verses, that the seed that go on the path doesn't even stand a chance. It's the devil takes it away before they get a chance. That which is planted on the rock, they get a little bit of something, and they start off joyful. Have you ever seen someone that get saved and man, you think they're the next Billy Graham. And then 3 weeks later, something has changed, something come up, and it because they didn't have enough soil. They didn't have enough depth to the root system of their belief. And because of that, they let it go. And they fall away. What falls among the thorns, and this is a difficult one, because this is actually reasonable soil, and you would expect a little bit more, but when the thorns get a hold of the good plant, then there's much trouble. And they're choked out with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. In other words, life happens, and they can't cope. And they give up. They let those things rob them of what they should be growing and having more of the Lord and the Word of God growing in their heart and their relationship staying strong, but they just don't have enough will to fight against those troubles and any Christian, anyone that gets saved and the thought is planted in their mind, you'll never have trouble again. Oh my goodness, that's a wrong thing to tell them. Let them know. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We're going to have to fight a little bit. We're going to have to elbow the devil a little bit. I used to play basketball, and I wasn't very good. I could shoot a little bit, but I wasn't very good, but I could elbow really good. And the coach said, you get under the basket and grab the ball and throw it to somebody that can shoot and dribble. Dribbling wasn't my big thing. Let's just put it this way. Curry's got it all over me with his dribbling and shooting and everything. But we've got to sometimes do an elbow to the devil. We have to put it right in his face and let him know that we're staying with God. We're gonna be faithful. We're not gonna allow him to take the greatest gift ever given to the world away from us, and that is Jesus. And we accept Jesus through his word. Amen. Henry, you want to read 15 and 16? That verse 15, Henry, kind of suits you because you're a man that has planted. We just ate some mustard greens last week that Henry planted, and he took good care of it, and it was very, very good. We got it. We froze it. That was a long time ago, but we froze it, and it tasted so good. So this is what should happen to the seed or the Word of God. It should go into good ground, broken up and ready to take the seed. And then the seed will do the work of sprouting up, and it's watered, it's kept, it's weeded. And as we do that, and as we're careful and we're patient, because it takes a little bit of time, then it'll grow up into a bountiful harvest. That's what should happen. That's when the Word of God goes forth. It should bring fruit in our lives, in our living. We've been saved, some of us, a long time. But we still need fruit, and we still need the Word. We still need the encouragement. And oh my goodness, isn't it amazing how that we Christians live a Christian life right up until the end? And then we just transfer over, and we still see the glory of God on the other side. It doesn't stop. It's a little bit of a transition. And then we go on forever and ever living and living with the Lord and being of service to Him. We're going to be a big part of the kingdom, the millennial kingdom. We're going to have a big role. It's going to be, you're going to enjoy it. It'll be a lot of fun, I promise. If not, I'll give you all of the that I charged you for it, that information back. And verse 16 talks about lighting a candle. Jesus said, you know, when you go to the trouble of lighting a candle, and I thought of this when I was studying this word, and I thought, you know, they lived in a place that was dark. That was, at night, it was dark. You almost have to go out of San Jose to find a dark spot in the city. I'll never forget when my mom and I were, we were in Kentucky visiting my grandmother, and we went to church. Everybody else didn't. Mom and I were in the car, and I said, I wonder what would happen if I turned the lights off. Now, we were in Kentucky. We were in a very, I mean, there wasn't even a house around. I turned the lights off, and it nearly scared me. It was so dark, and I thought, okay, that wasn't a good idea, so I turned the lights back on very quickly. But what Jesus is saying, when you go to the trouble of lighting a candle, and they needed that light for the darkness there because it was very, very dark. And he said, then you don't put it under a bed or hide it somewhere. You do everything to put it out to where it'll do some benefit. I don't even know where they come up with the light. I tell you, it was quite a whirl. I know where I come up with the light. I hit a switch and boom, LED light everywhere, and it's amazing. But Jesus said, all that we're doing, we're not trying to hide the gospel or hide the good news or hide the word of God. What we want to do is we want to get it out to where everybody can see it and still understand that not everybody that sees the light accepts the light. Amen? Sister Watson, you want to read 17 and 18 for us?
For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore to how you hear, for whatsoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have.
So, no secrets. We're going to put it out in the open. We're going to show, you know, we're going to show everything we're doing and be, you know, open and above board. And take heed how we hear. It's important. And what when we attain from the Lord, He will add to our what we're attaining, or if we're open to the Word of God, He'll give us understanding. The people that push it back, I've seen a lot of kids push food back. Even older people, when you're not, you don't feel like eating, you push it away. And Jesus said, from him that accepts, we'll just multiply it. And those that push it away, it'll be taken away completely. They won't have a bit of light. That's what happens when people push away the Word of God. Not a good idea. Linda, would you like to read 19 and 20 for us?
Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come to him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee.
Becky, our last verse we're going to do is 21. It's going to mess us up next week, but we're going to do just 21. Now, there's several things going on with his mother and brethren. And the commentary says that they actually thought Jesus was off his rocker and was going to try to calm him down. But as you could see, Jesus wasn't interested in being calmed down. And sometimes even the people closest to us don't understand what we're doing for the Lord. It's amazing that this comes right after Jesus was talking about comprehension of the light. Now, we understand that in the end, his mother was right there with him at the cross. And Jesus said to John the Beloved, John, behold your mother. And to his mother, mother, behold your son. And he had to go on. He had to do the work of sacrifice. And he gave charge of his mother. He didn't neglect her. And I don't think that Jesus was trying to be rude or ugly in speaking these things. He was just saying, there's something I have to do that's important. And no matter what seems to be coming against me, I'm going. And again, we only see these few verses. I believe Jesus probably talked to them. If he would give counsel to scribes and Pharisees, he wouldn't kick his family away. But what he was trying to teach for us forever is that what happens in the gospel is more important than even family. If family aren't on board, we've got to still hang in there and accept the word of God and hey, well, I'm going to be saved. My mom and dad did everything she could to teach us all to get saved, and they wanted us to be with them forever in heaven, but everybody has the same opportunity. And so sometimes people listen, sometimes people don't listen. We're going to finish right there. Any other comments before we leave? I don't want to leave with a question. I still have a question remaining from Donnie from 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I got to figure out an answer for him. We may never figure it out. I'll have his mom blog because she's got that down, and it's more comprehensive than I can be. Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to give up. We'll seek an answer. God is merciful. Amen. Yes, praise God. Lord, we're thankful for your people, and I pray blessing upon every life. I pray strength for us, Jesus. We really need your strength. I pray, God, that you'll bring us back next week safely, but during this week, boy, there's some that are going to be working very hard, and I pray that you'll just help them and give strength day by day by day. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.